9 p.m. Mondays. Don't miss it.
This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are speaking with Mary Flor Toniato. She is the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, a guide to transforming women's relationships with money. She's the CEO and founder of Power with Soul. She specializes in helping ambitious women entrepreneurs, professionals, and leaders to reach financial prosperity and success while fulfilling their social promise to the world. Welcome to the show, Mary Flor.
Well, thank you for having me, Marie. I'm really excited to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, I love that you not only work on creating prosperity, but also fulfilling their social promise to the world. Tell us why that's important.
Well, it really comes down to the point that in the book, I talk, and really one of the main reasons why I wrote the book is because when women are empowered with money, they become difference makers. And on average, research shows that women will reinvest 90 cents of every dollar that they make back to family, health, nutrition, and education. And this is also the case in developing nations. So when women succeed, we literally all succeed. And what I mean by social promise is that it's about doing good while doing well. And we know that once we're all taken care of as women, we really want to help and spread the good in the world. And so the more women are empowered with money, the more that they can also fulfill that social promise aspect of what's going to give their soul so much fulfillment and meaning.
Mm. When the Dalai Lama was here in Vancouver for the Peace Summit a few years back, he said that the Western woman will change the world. And I feel like you're kind of saying that the way that Western women can do that, and not only Western women, but women all over the world, is by empowering themselves financially.
Yes, I love that you pointed that out, Marie, because I actually do talk about that in the book, where I said, you know, exactly what the Dalai Lama said about the Western woman is going to save the world. And he even said in that speech that, you know, some people may call him a feminist, but the fact is, he is so aware that women are so much more sensitive to human compassion and affection. And so he says that because females have more sensitivity to others' pain and suffering. And so, you know, helping women in that regard, which is innately part of our DNA anyway, and then having them become empowered with money as well, their opportunity to really contribute and to really move forward so many social issues that face us right now and really help to contribute in addressing it, it's magnified. So I love that this is just the perfect time that we're having this conversation, that the book has come out at the exact time when there is this huge uprising in the world right now around feminine and women's empowerment.
Beautiful. And I do want to be inclusive because I know that there are many people who identify as male who may also have much more nurturing and sensitive sides to them. So it really is, it's that feminine nurturing essence, not necessarily where we fall on the gender spectrum.
Yes. I mean, I do say in the book that while it's written for women, men are definitely going to find value in reading it. And it is about the feminine, tapping into the more feminine aspects of ourselves, as opposed to having to, you know, always tap into the masculine aspect to get things done. And what I'm finding a lot, though, too, which I absolutely love, is as I'm speaking to so many people about the book, and a lot of men who are hosts of their podcasts or radio shows or YouTube channels, etc., the men are really, really resonating with the message of the book. And one man was saying, oh, never mind about just women. I really love this, and I'm going to be recommending it to all my male friends. And so I think that's been one of the joys of finding out how people really have embraced the book in the world.
Thank you, Mary Floor. Again, we are speaking with Mary Floor Toniato. You can find her at maryfloor.co. I'm going to spell out her name, MeriFloor.co. MeriFloor.co. Now, I'd love to talk about, Mary Floor, how so many of us who are a little more sensitive, nurturing, empathic, a lot of this money stuff is like, it seems like in the world right now, there's so much compromise in our values that it takes just to make a buck these days. At least that's a lot of the time the perception. And a lot of people will be giving their services at very low rates or sometimes free because they do feel like they just want to help and do good in the world. So why is that not necessarily the best way to go about creating positive change?
Well, it's an interesting balance. I think that the more people who are sensitive and have a very spiritual outlook in life, sometimes there is this kind of from the past and how we've been raised culturally, there's this kind of a conflict around being spiritual and being wealthy, being rich, and being prosperous. And so that this book talks about that conflict in the fact that you can be rich and spiritual at the same time. You don't have to choose. And in fact, I talk in the book about how interesting it is that Mother Teresa, who we know was really a champion of people who were sick and impoverished and were in poverty and the unborn, she actually had this really famous quote that said, "It takes a checkbook to change the world." And in terms of people, for instance, maybe not charging what they're worth or not charging enough, there's something that happens within the energy of that where people are actually can hold themselves back and in themselves not value enough of their time or their services or the talents that they have. And so what ends up happening is the energy doesn't get multiplied enough because in of itself, even if somebody has not consciously talked about it, there's a sense of feeling contained and smaller. And when people aren't living up to their highest potential, and that includes charging what they're worth.
Beautiful. Mary Floor, there is a quote. I've got this little whiteboard in my bedroom, and I have this quote by Buckminster Fuller. It says, "You never change things by fighting against the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the old model obsolete." And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I feel like the way that our society is going with having money be so important and having products and companies and corporations doing so much damage to the planet and socially in many ways. I'm just wondering because I feel like if we all get on board with trying to make more money as the way to change, how specifically is that going to help? Don't we need to do something else to completely change and flip capitalism upside down on its head?
Well, you know, I love that quote, by the way. But, you know, this model is talking about looking at money from a standpoint of connecting it to your higher spiritual purpose of why you are here. It often takes money, using it as a tool to fulfill the bigger platform and mission that you have, if that is the case for your life. and that we can use a different model in viewing money only, one, as a tool, and two, as a really important resource that's going to help us achieve something more in terms of making an impact and making a difference in the world. So this is the kind of thing that we're talking about, you know, where it's been misquoted so many times in the Bible that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's been misquoted in that it was basically saying that only loving money is the root of all evil. And that's not real. There's so many people now. The fact that you and I are connected right now, Marie, is because we are wanting to express something really good and wanting to contribute to uplifting humanity and bettering the world. And I really find that money is one of those conversations that needs to be explored and in a way that can help free us from all of these kind of baggage that we have, or even emotionally conflicting feelings about money. And when we do that and we can reconcile with that kind of emotional healing, we can really use it for the highest good.
So it sounds, Mary Fleur, like you're saying that with regards to that Buckminster Fuller quote about making the old model obsolete, that at this point in history, it's not about making the concept of money obsolete. That may one day change, we don't know. But changing our view of money is the way we change the model, rather than this fear-based survivalistic view of money, looking at money as a tool for expansion and powerful change.
Exactly. Very, very well said, Marie. That is exactly it. And every single day we are in contact in some way with money, even down to, you know, should I bring lunch to work today? Oh, no, I think I'm going to go out instead. You know, that's an easy decision that we don't even think about, but that also requires money. We are in exchange with everything in our physical world, usually on a daily basis, that has to do with money. And so when there is so much fear base and maybe and a lot of thinking of scarcity, it puts our energy on a planetary level, really, of one of scarcity and fear. And this is now the time to let all of that go and to really just understand it for what it is, a powerful tool that could be a catalyst to your personal growth, to all, and also help you to fulfill your life's mission.
Beautiful. Thanks, Mary Fleur. I'm wondering if maybe you can give us either your own story or an example of someone who went from struggles with money to having financial success, and how they're now using that financial success as a way to create a better world.
I am the perfect example of that, Marie. It's, you know, it's one of these things where you often hear, we teach most what we need to learn. We teach best what we most need to learn, is actually the term. And in my early 20s, I left a very challenging marriage, and I had a baby girl who was about 4 months old, and I had to build us a good life and a good future. And I remember working and living from paycheck to paycheck and often being so anxious about money and always worried, always fearful and doubtful. And I remember one day saying to myself, you know, this is, I can't live like this. It's almost like, you know, in constant anxiety. And I really set out and made a promise to myself to change that around. And I also remember thinking that if I was ever in a position to help women and men feel empowered about money, I would do that. Now, in those years, I didn't know what that was going to look like. You know, I kind of tucked that away and thought, I will one day do that. But, you know, I had to kind of reinvent my whole life. And so years had passed, and I had reinvented my life, and a lot of success had come through. I was in corporate, I was in very high positions. And when I decided to become an entrepreneur and started my coaching, my global coaching company, I started to work with women. And sooner or later, the conversation would turn around money. And there was a lot of kind of anxiety or fear, or even holding themselves back around money. And maybe it was an income ceiling or what have you. And then I began to create programs around this to help women. And then I remembered that promise that I had made all those years ago. And I thought, you know what? I've now worked with so many people from all walks of life, and there's a common thread here. It's time to write the book. And so this book is also my way of giving back in terms of really helping people to become empowered with money and feel fine about it, because there, it's something that's part of their bigger purpose in life. And so for me, it's been like this full circle, but on a higher level, that I've actually really found this to be like a spiritual journey in giving back as well.
Mm, beautiful. It's, you mentioned that feeling of anxiousness and fear and worry about money. And mm-hmm. I've been recently reading, there's another interview coming up soon with another author from New World Library, which is your publishing company. And he talks about, he's an optometrist, and he talks about how when we are in that fear state, not only mentally are we unable to see more possibilities, our view of the world becomes very narrow, even visually. As soon as fear sets in, because we're focused only on survival, we're only able to see what's right in front of us, and we're not able to see bigger possibilities. And so it sounds like helping to empower women and people in general to have more comfort around money and have more ease in their lives immediately is going to give them a greater perspective of the world. They're just able to see more possibilities.
Yes, I you know, shout out to New World Library. Love New World Library. Kim. They're fantastic. And I'm so glad that this book has been in collaboration with them. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Marie. And that is so true. What ends up happening is, even though we cannot see it, we stifle the energy because we're on survival mode, and there's nothing else that can come in. No new perspective, no fresh ideas, nothing, because it's in that, you know, fight or flight moment. And what ends up happening is, if we release a lot of that energy, and it's likely pent up in our body somewhere as well, and in our minds definitely, you know, when that ends up happening, there's all sorts of possibilities that can come into our lives. And that possibility could, you know, be opportunities, could be resources, people showing up and lending support at a time that you need it. And it's just almost like a, you know, just a deep breath and just kind of being in the moment that we sometimes really cannot do when we're in such an anxious state.
Thank you, Mary Flor. We're speaking right now with Mary Flor Toniato, and we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Timber Concerts presents the return of Flemish Eye recording artist Preoccupations on Wednesday, May 9th at the Astoria. Preoccupations are touring in support of their latest album, New Material, which is available now. You can get tickets and more information at preoccupationsband.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity. We are speaking right now with Mary Flor Toniato. She is the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, a guide to transforming women's relationships with money. You can find her on her website at maryflor.co. I'll spell that now, MERIFLOR.co. So, Mary Flor, we were just talking about that the way that our anxiety and our fear response limits our view of the world, and that when we're able to relax It expands our view. We're able to see more possibilities. So what does a person, maybe you have one or two tips, that person who's living paycheck to paycheck, I don't know about in Toronto, but here in Vancouver with the real estate market is haywire. People are having to leave the city to even or live in their vans. I mean, it is, people are struggling financially, even people who make relatively good incomes. So when we're living in that constant, like, I don't know where I'm going to live next week mentality, how do we get to that point where we're able to see a possibility for a way to make more and have a better world?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the picture you've painted is, I'm quite aware in Vancouver that's actually really the case that's happening. And one piece that when you were just talking, Marie, is mentality. So there's a huge thing that can happen here in terms of mindset, because again, what we create and what we focus on grows. So we really end up having to deal with the same thing on a magnified level if we keep fearing, you know, something specific like money and living from paycheck to paycheck. And you know what it really takes is to having to go inward, because a lot of the answers do come from within, in that really getting honest with yourself. What is this fear? What really is it based on? Where does it come from? And to really get in touch of how this came to be for you. Because, you know, I find it so interesting that there are people who will be fine irrespective of the economy. And then there are people who are scared of everything up and down with the economy, you know, and that's all starts from where your perspective is in terms of abundance. Do you believe that the world is an abundant place, or is it one where you fear that it's more scarcity? And so, you know, what I'm so happy about is that this book can provide a step-by-step resource and guide to people who are feeling exactly that. You know, there's a lot of, there's case studies here from so many people that I've worked with, specific examples of tools and strategies that they can download and use like right away to start to develop that muscle. It's like a muscle that we have to develop. If we've been thinking in a certain way and we want to change that, we have to get in the habit of shifting that belief. And so it may not happen overnight for some people, or some people like me, I just woke up one day and said, you know what? I think I'm going to choose the other way, because I think that's going to help me feel more expansive. So it's about going within, really looking at what is this fear all about and what the emotions are, and tracing back where it is. And then it's actively working on releasing that. And this book is a great resource for that.
Beautiful. Thanks, Mary Flor. So you mentioned that you just woke up and just decided. So was there anything, you also mentioned going within, and I would imagine that includes meditation. You do have some meditations and some journaling exercises in your book, Money, Manifestation, and Miracles. So I'm wondering what specifically that it was for you. Because, I mean, if we have this long-held belief that it takes hard work to make money, that money is, you know, everybody around us is struggling. So, So how do you just change? How did you change that overnight?
Well, for me, I made it a game. I made it a living laboratory, if you will, because I thought, okay, well, these are the results I keep getting with this mindset. What if I tried something else? What if I actually, because I, at that point, you know, I was really starting to get very, very interested in broader spirituality and starting to read books like, you know, Think and Grow Rich. And I was really starting to get into on the path, if you will. And I thought, you know, I'm going to, why not? Why not I start to think about this, and I start to be more grateful for where I am, actually, because I was so grateful that I was on my own. I was so grateful that my daughter was healthy. She had great daycare that I was able to get her in. And all of those things that I started to really come into that kind of a feeling. And I started to manifest things that I was more, began to be happy about. And more, a lot of these seeming coincidences would start happening in my life that would start to elevate my energy level and my vibration. And what's so interesting about that is that was just a moment choice. And I didn't hinge it on all or nothing. I thought, okay, I'm going to try it. You know, this could work, or I might want to tweak it, but I knew that I wasn't going backwards. I wanted to go forward. So in many ways, it's really coming to a point where you just choose. We have this beautiful opportunity to be at choice at all times. And that's exactly what I did. I just chose the abundance.
Thank you, Mary Flora. So I'd love to kind of summarize a couple of things, because I feel like that's so powerful. So you mentioned that you made it a game. So I know a lot of when I started with meditation and focusing more on spirituality, there was a lot of angst of like, this has to work. So it sounds like in the making of a game, like, let's just play this out and see what happens. It's not, you're not doing it with the expectation of a result. You're doing it to just keep it light and see where it goes.
Exactly.
And then and then you really focused on gratitude, where, I mean, even someone who is living in a van, or even living, you know, heaven forbid, living on the street, there are still things that they can choose to feel grateful for, such as, well, there is a soup kitchen where I can go and get food. And hopefully no one listening at this point is on the verge of that level. But I mean, any, whatever our experiences are, there's always ways that we can find things that are working and things that we can be thankful for.
Yeah, exactly. That's absolutely right, Marie. And you know, and we tend to forget how powerful we really are. And if we really think about it, and be in connection with our highest self and divine source, or however we choose to identify with a higher being or with God, then we know that we're not all on our own. There is something, even a higher purpose for us to be here. And sometimes, you know, those really, really, when we're at the very, very bottom, sometimes that's really what we needed at that time, because it was going to spur us into something much, much better. And we talk a lot in our culture about success. We're always talking about success, but we don't talk a lot about failure. And failures to look at is actually really important, because within that failure and getting, you know, to the bottom, there's only ever one way to go, and that's back up, you know. And I learned that, and because I had been at that place, I thought all of the other things could just be in this lightness. Why not, you know, experiment with this? Why not try that? Gratitude costs us no money. It doesn't cost money. It's just a thought and an expression that can, once we start focusing on it, will magnify and increase, and it creates this beautiful ripple effect. And you wouldn't even have had to leave your house to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Could be anywhere.
And it sounds also, there's so many thoughts that are coming to mind with regards to the gratitude and the failure, the importance, not that we want to set ourselves up for failure, but that MMA fighter, the female MMA fighter, Ronda Rousey, I think is her name. She had never lost a match. And then when she finally did, because she had just, all she had ever known was success, it was so devastating to her because she had never experienced a failure before.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's so in our lives, there's always going to be moments where it didn't go as well as we wanted it to, or what have you. And the point of it is that's just part of the growth. You know, we cannot always expect that everything is always going to be successful, because the part of the journey is always making that. Sometimes it's only a 10 degree shift, you know, just a little tweak here, tweak there. And that is your kind of sweet spot for the formula that works very well for you to have whatever success looks like for you and whatever abundance looks like for you.
So it also sounds like that practice of gratitude, again, is going to calm down our nervous system. It's going to get us out of that fight or flight. And so that's what's going to leave some room for our minds to come up with, or to tune into, however you want to look at it, other perspectives and other opportunities that we might not have been able to see.
Yes, exactly. No, exactly. And one of the things too is I'm actually also doing a master's right now in positive psychology and coaching psychology, as if I wasn't busy enough. Really, I find it fascinating. But you know, I've been studying from a research standpoint gratitude, and there is scientific evidence that when we are grateful, there is what they call a broadening. Build and broadening of all of the positive things that can happen to us, both mentally, physically, and emotionally. And we talk about it, and we've always known, I think, from the spiritual side of things, that it's such a great practice to do because it builds so many benefits. But it was so fascinating to be able to see that from a research standpoint. There's a lot of research now in positive psychology that's been done to prove that gratitude is one of the best ways that you can actually improve overall well-being.
Mm. Awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, Mary Fleur.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're speaking right now with Mary Fleur Toniato. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment. Hi, it's Marie. Thanks so much for listening. I'd love to know your thoughts on the show, whether you're enjoying it or if you have feedback on what might make it better, and especially if you have a story about how one of the episodes has changed the way you think or inspired you in some way. Drop me a line at spiritualshow.com. Just go to the Connect tab and fill out the form. It'll send me an email. That's spiritualshow.com. Thanks.
Oh, hello there, and welcome to CITR and Discorder's how-to guide to being your best possible self. Step 1. Pick up a copy of the April issue of Discorder magazine from one of our 100-plus distribution locations. Step 2. Read your copy of Discorder magazine to map out your record store day with Sean Hogan's help. Figure out the steps for getting your own show on CITR 101.9 FM. Get inspired by the youth at the Reel to Reel Film Festival. And find the X's that mark the spots of the closed and closing Vancouver venues with Elijah Teed. Step 3. Check out reviews of live music and comedy shows, albums, podcasts, and books. Step 4. Thank your advertisers. Shout out to your mom, the AMS, the Rio Theater, Blueprint, Timber Concerts, the Rickshaw Theater, Mint Records, the Wise Hall, Art Rock Finale, High Life Records, Caribou Lager, MRG Concerts, the Doxa Documentary Film Festival, the Reel to Reel International Film Festival for Youth, the Cinematheque, the Spring Record Convention, Audio Pile Records, Red Cat Records, Neptune Records, the Verboten Festival. Step 5. Check out discorder.ca for web exclusives and magazine updates. Step 6. Come into the station. Write for Discorder. Get a show. Duh.
Are You Aware Radio. Alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are speaking right now with Mary Flor Toniato. She's the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, a guide to transforming women's relationship with money. Men can also benefit from the book, but it's specifically written for women. So, Mary Flor, maybe we can talk a little bit about that financial starting point and why it's important for us to know where we're at.
Sure. Yeah. So in the book, I talk about this financial starting point because, you know, when we're focused on a goal, any goal, it's always important to get to where we want to be. It's important for us to understand and assess where we are so that we can plan ahead as to how we're going to get to from point A to point B. And so this is exactly the same kind of idea with having a financial starting point. If you're making a commitment that you want to be more abundant or prosperous or wealthy, you want to assess where you're starting from. You want to assess and take stock of what is my relationship like with money? How do I actually feel about it? You know, I will get, sometimes people will say to me, oh, yeah, no, I have a love-hate relationship with money. Or some people will say, I have a great relationship with money. I've made peace with money, which is a very funny thing because money is actually an object, right? But we're all talking about it as if it was a person. And so, you know, in the book, I talk a lot about this exercise to take stock of your current relationship with money, you know, and that includes, I've had all these conversations in my workshops with many people, is how did your family view money when you were growing up? And I hear all these fascinating stories. And then, so what of that view did you bring with you that is no longer serving you? So there's many ways to take stock of where you are. And then once you look at that financial starting point, you can really begin to say, okay, this is where I am right now, and this is where I want to be, and this is what I need to work on.
Thanks, Mary Flor. There's also a couple other things that I feel... There's lots of tips and points in the book, but there's a couple that really stood out for me. And one of them is enjoyment, because I feel like, especially when we're living paycheck to paycheck or we're chronically stressed out, we don't make time for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a problem?
Well, it's a problem because it really stifles our energy. No creativity and no levity can come to us because the universe works on energy in terms of vibration. Doesn't know time, doesn't know all of that, but it really works on, that's why there's some people that can manifest very quickly what it is that they desire, because they are in tuned with that which they desire. So for instance, if you're somebody who is just, you know, constantly just working and you're not enjoying your family life and all of that, I mean, that will take a toll on you physically, psychologically, and emotionally. But also the energy of that is that there's just no lightness within you. So how can any new fresh thing come to be? And I remember when I started to, you know, I started to change my mindset around being always nervous about money and anxious about it. And I started to play these kind of games, and I started to laugh more. I started to enjoy things more. And what I did was one of the things that was so important to Marie is when money like would come to me, for instance, as like gifts, I would, especially on my birthday, I would spend it on myself. I wouldn't, because I had everything already set out for payments of things. I wouldn't then just put it into another way to pay something, because I also mattered too.
I save so much of that. Like, I feel like if I get a bonus or I get a gift, I should put it into savings. And it sounds like you're saying, no, if as long as everything's covered, spend it on yourself.
Yeah, and it depends. If your comfort level is half-half, that's fine too. Mm-hmm. The thing is, don't forget about yourself, because you matter. You're the engine of doing all of this, right? And so we forget that, and especially us women, it's a kind of the hallmark thing where it's in our DNA to be nurturing and to feel guilty if we're spending on ourselves rather than others. But that was one of the most wonderful lessons I learned for myself, because it was a process of being self-fulfilled or self-full as opposed to being selfish. Because if I wasn't at my best, everything else would suffer.
Mary Fleur, I'm curious, what kinds of things, if you don't mind me asking, what kinds of things would you spend those gifts on when you say you're spending it on yourself?
Well, I would go to get my nails done. I would go to the spa. I would, go shopping if I wanted to buy a dress or something that I had been thinking about. Or if I had, wanted to go to dinner. And I usually don't do that because I didn't have a lot of extras. But I'd say, I'm going to go to dinner. And it was just, it was actually very simple things, to tell you the truth. And it wasn't anything extravagant because the amounts weren't that big. Now, had I gotten large amounts of money, I don't think I would have spent the whole thing all on myself. I think that would have been a situation where I would have said, well, I don't exactly need all, everything at this moment. So I could, put some away and enjoy some. Hmm. And so I always thought of it, Marie, as this kind of a reinforcement from the universe that I was on the right track, that I could also be abundant.
Beautiful. So it sounds like you made an effort. If it was a large amount of money, then maybe you would have just taken a portion of that money to spend on yourself.
Yeah.
But that you made sure to spend some of your income or some of extra income on things that brought joy to you.
Yes. And sometimes it was just even a book. Oh, I found this great book and I'm not going to put it on my credit card. I'm going to pay for it. And it's just those little things that we don't really have to spend so much money to have some enjoyment. The whole point of it was a little exercise to say to myself that I'm worthy of this. I am worthy to have abundance. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens is when we're in situations where we may not be feeling, financially in a crunch, we may sometimes think, oh, maybe I don't deserve this or something like that. And, those thoughts have definitely popped into my head. And I remember the feeling of feeling that way versus choosing to feel that, hang on, I'm simply broke at the moment. I am not poor.
Can you give us a definition of the difference between broke and poor?
So poor is a mindset scarcity. And broke is a situation that has, it actually is reflected in the numbers.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you also mentioned, Mary Fleur, in the book. Again, the book is called Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, A Guide to Transforming Women's Relationships with Money. You mentioned the importance of clearing up our environment, and that's something I have been chipping away at, but this is, I bet once I really put enough energy and get it done, so many things are just going to open up in my life, because clutter and holding on to stuff that I feel like I should keep because I paid money for it, it's bogging so many people down. I mean, people even pay to store their junk.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because the way that the laws of the universe, you know, we don't have to hold on to things. We can pay it forward, because when we actually do things like that and give it to charity, for instance, or give it to somebody who needs it, and we do that willingly with a generous heart and spirit, it will come back to you on some level. Maybe not to that from that person, maybe not in the same situation, but it will come back to you when you need it for your highest good, because the nature abhors a vacuum. So you've created this opportunity. When you give, you've created an opportunity for something to come to you and for you to receive it with gratitude.
And even just the practicality of having less stuff for myself, I mean, there have been jobs that I might have taken if I didn't have a whole apartment full of junk that I would have had to sort through to move.
Like, yeah.
Even just the ability to say, oh, I'm going to take that job across the country because I have fewer possessions, can be open up new doors.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's so interesting in my life, and I've said this to many clients as well, is if let's say you're going through a creative period or you want something new to come into your life, I tell people to go and declutter their mind, declutter their space, declutter their environment, psychologically, spiritually, and their actual physical space, and even decluttering people that they are in close contact with all the time, because we always want to surround ourselves with people that are going to take us higher.
Beautiful. And that's another, you mentioned that you work a lot in mastermind groups and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about how do people go about finding, because that's the thing, if we're hanging out with people who are broke and people who have a poor mindset, and you know, everywhere you go, even people who have a lot of money in this city are a lot of the time complain about things. So how do you tune into or find people that have overcome that and are abundant, even if it's not in their bank account yet?
I think you start with in the kind of the space that we are, when, you know, people, for instance, buy this book, they get this book, it's given to them as a gift. Then you start to also connect naturally with people who have the same kinds of interests, for instance. So maybe, you know, you're interested in some sort of being more creative, so you want to join an art class. Then when you join that, you can meet new sets of friends. You know, you have to think about what your ultimate goals are. And then you want to start to slowly or, you know, immediately start to look at for opportunities that could feel like it's fun for you. Mm-hmm. You know, for instance, somebody may say, you know, I need a new job. Like, I really need, this is like not interesting for me anymore, and I've really outgrown it. So you know that you need a surge of up leveling, and so you may start connecting with people or you've started to network, and it's going to lead you to different people, and it could lead you to a new job that's higher in pay, higher in level, and it's getting you to your ultimate goal. And so every little action can be, if it's intentional, it could be a stepping stone to getting you to where you want to be. And so a lot of it has to do with being clear on what it is that you want.
Thanks, Mary Flor. I just, a question came up for me with talking about ultimate goals and all of that. Where does the present moment, how do you navigate living in, and maybe you don't, I don't know, but living in the present moment and then also having these long-term goals?
Well, we have these long-term goals, and the long-term goals always, to get to that, every decision, we're conscious of, is this going to move me forward toward that or not? So in the present moment, of course, we're enjoying it and we're savoring it. And because there's a time and space for just fun and just relaxation and what have you. But it's almost like living very intentionally. Mm. And so in the present moment, I'm always aware of, and I do a lot of, you know, meditation and thinking and connecting about and asking the universe for, you know, please reveal to me what is the next thing that I need to do to get to X. You know, and sometimes it'll just pop up, or sometimes next thing you know, I get invited to go somewhere or to do something. And so we always have to be awake to our good, even in the present moment that we are completing what it is that we're doing. So for instance, this is a perfect example, Marie. You and I are having this beautiful conversation that it's at a higher level conversation that's elevated in the present moment. And at the same time, we're believing and we are putting out these great intentions out into the world that whomever this is going to reach will help them move forward in some way. And who knows who's going to hear this that's going to now be connected to us because they're going to appear when we need them to get to the next level of our own path and journey.
Ooh, I love that.
Right? And yes. So this is a very intentional conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for clarifying that difference, because I feel like it can be confusing
yeah.
to navigate.
Yeah, it is. It's true, because I mean, we're always talking about move forward to your goals and all of that, but the reality is we have to live in the now at the same time. So it's not always easy for people to balance it. And I think that each and every one of us, we really know ourselves best. And so we have to find within ourselves the types of formula that could work best with how we are in our way of being and what brings us joy. Mm.
Thanks, Mary Fleur. I do have another question, and I want to talk about your website as well and what you've got going on there, which is maryfleur.co. But before we do, I just have one last question. We're talking about setting our goals, and early on in the book, you have a visualization exercise where we envision the future that we want and what we want that to look like. And I feel challenged with that because there's so many different possibilities that I could be happy with. I have a really hard time picking one.
Mm. And you know, it's, you have to give yourself the opportunity just to sit with it too, because you can also say to yourself, okay, I would love, and you can do it in bits and pieces because there's different points of our journey in different phases of our lives. You can just say, what would I love, you know, to envision for the next 2 years, for the next 5 years, for the next, you know, however it feels more comfortable to you. Because maybe what you're envisioning for your second year in 2 years to happen is not big enough to get to your fifth year, you know? So it's a matter of playing with what feels like it's a really going to move you forward, and it feels exciting, and it feels like, you know, I really, for whatever reason, my intuition, which is a very amazing gift that we have that we tend to forget that we have, you know, will pull you forward to it.
Thank you, because I was feeling anxious about that, like I was doing it wrong. So for clarifying.
No, you're welcome. And there's really, you know, it's what the book does is there's so many resources and tips and tools. But what I do say is that, you know, use this and then start making it your own. Because that's what's going to give you a lot of the power for yourself, is you're going to own your power, and you're going to feel, you know, much lighter, and you're going to bring some joy and into your life. And once all of those start coming into alignment with each other, then you start to be able to attract what it is that you want. in your life. And usually, I mean, if it's for your highest good and it's for the highest intention and the highest good of all for everybody involved, it will come together with so much grace and with so much ease that you never had to work going upstream because you went with the flow.
Hmm. Yay!
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Mary Floor. Well, just before we have a couple of minutes left in the show, is there anything, before we talk about your website, is there anything else you feel like you really need to add or hasn't been mentioned yet?
Well, I just think that we've had such an incredible conversation, and I really would love people to find out for themselves what it is that really stands out for them, because I'm finding what's so amazing is that because everybody has, you know, their own perspective and everybody's experiences are different, I'm finding that people are opening this up and there's all little bits of magic for them. And I'm just excited for them to find out what that is for them.
Yay. Awesome.
Just like you were finding all these things that stood out to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mary Floor. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. We have been speaking with Mary Floor Toniato. She's the author of Money, Manifestation, and Miracles, A Guide to Transforming Women's Relationships with Money. And her website is maryfloor.co. That's MERIFLOR.CO. And events and book tours and all of the information that you need to know about Mary Floor, if you want to get the book or if you want to try and meet her in person, you can go to that website, maryfloor.co. Is there anything else you want to add before we say goodbye?
Well, I just wanted to add that when you purchase the book and you go on to maryfloor.co and you press the where it says book, be sure to also download a free audio where I talk about the power of gratitude and different 8 practices that you can start using today to expand that joy and lightness and grace in your life.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for putting this work out into the world and for living your life for the higher purpose of all of us. And thank you for listening and for spending this hour with us. I want to send you lots of love. Namaste. Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
Excuse me. Hi, I was wondering how I maybe might potentially get to be on the radio.
Oh, word, yeah. You can do that at CITR and Discorder.
I'm sorry?
You can cover events and issues in the city and interview people, or you could join a collective and work with people with similar interests to make a show collaboratively, maybe make a few friends.
Oh, wow, that sounds superb.
Totally. Just email volunteer@citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
Oh, I definitely will. Thank you so much.
Born out of an initiative to give more voice to local women artists and musicians, Pink Tapes is a Vancouver-based biannual mixtape featuring women-identified musicians and sound artists from the Pacific Northwest. The Spring 2018 edition will be coming out on May 10th, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter. Women-identified artists are invited to send their submissions to btchtapes@gmail.com. The release fundraiser will be held on May 10th at the Redgate Review Stage, featuring artists selected for this edition of the cassette.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival returns to Calgary from June 20th to 24th, 2018. Discover over 250 bands, comedy acts, film, and art in more than 35 venues across the city. This year's festival features guest curator Deerhoof, innovative indie rock act Dirty Projectors, electronic innovators Mount Kimby, versatile folk pop duo Way Oak, futuristic hip-hop titans Shabazz Palaces, outsider pop auteur John Mouse, and many more yet to be announced. Visit sledisland.com for details, travel deals, and to get your festival pass.
ladies and gentlemen. This is
an advertisement for
Finding the Funny
on CITR 101.9 Mondays 6 to 6:30. We'd love for you to tune in and check us out on Twitter at Finding Funny FM. Every week, host Nico McEwen talks about new comedy topics, whether it be stand-up, sketch comedy, TV comedy, and more, always playing some of the most hilarious bits.
With your host, Nico McEwen.
I like the keyboards for that ad. It was nice. Go and listen to that show.